couple of years ago, a website, YouGov.com, conducted an online survey of Americans, asking them what they feared the most. The survey provided a list of over 30 possible fears, while allowing the participants to add fears that were not listed. Here are the top 10, starting with number 10. Number 10, large bodies of water. Number 9, fire. Number 8, bugs. Number 7, confined or enclosed spaces. Number 6, crowds or crowded spaces. Number 5, disease. Number 4, public speaking. I guess I'm facing that fear right now. Number 3, spiders. Number 2, heights. And the number 1 fear, according to this survey, snakes. In his chapel address a couple months ago, seminarian Sam Rademacher cited a different survey in which fears like government and economic collapse, sickness, loneliness, and death were mentioned. And there are many more fears than this. Fears such as cynophobia, the fear of dogs, to trypanophobia, the fear of needles, to even trypophobia, the fear of clusters of small holes. Yes, it seems like there's a phobia for just about anything. You could probably do an online search for top 10 fears of people and come up with 10 different lists. So what does this all mean? Well, it means we are a fearful people. And that fear can be debilitating. When we were little children, perhaps still even now, we may have been afraid of the dark, causing us to be paralyzed when faced with going to the basement or down a dark street. During the pandemic, the fears over the COVID virus caused many to be afraid to leave their homes. Maybe it's test anxiety that causes us to freeze up and not be able to show our true knowledge of a subject. The fear of rejection may cause someone to have a hard time starting or keeping a relationship. Fear of the unknown can keep someone from trying anything new or challenging. The greatest fear that humans have is probably death. Think of our society's preoccupation with staying young, all the anti-aging products out there. And unlike many of those other fears, where we often just try to avoid the thing we're fearful of, there is no avoiding death. It will come to us all someday. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. All people have this innate, natural knowledge of some supreme being that they will have to answer to someday. And we all know who that or what that answer will be if left to ourselves, eternal death. Yes, we are a fearful people. And the cause of that fear can be described with one word, sin. That constant companion of ours that builds up our fear until sometimes it almost consumes us. But the good news is that we have another constant companion with us who drives away that fear. Our Savior, who is omnipresent, meaning everywhere, all at once, all of the time. I'd like to direct your thoughts now to our text for today from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For you are with me. What a comfort it is for us to know that everywhere we go, everywhere we are, Jesus is there. Even though there are billions, millions of Christians in the world, each one of them with their own fears, the omnipresent Jesus is with each one of them right where they are, and also is up with us right where we are. As true God, Jesus fills heaven and earth. He truly is everywhere present. So why do we, who are saved and redeemed by his precious blood, still fear? We aren't the only ones who do. Jesus' own disciples did, even when he was literally right with them. The time was evening, the place was on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were on a boat crossing the sea while a powerful storm was raging, causing strong winds and treacherous waves that were crashing over the sides of the boat, causing it to fill with water from the waves. The disciples were frantically fearful. And this was while Jesus was right there with them, physically there, sleeping in the boat, modeling complete fearlessness and trust. The disciples shouted to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" They were afraid. Afraid of that greatest of all fears, death. They were in the valley of the shadow of death there in that storm. And Jesus showed that he was with them. He awoke, stood in the boat, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said, "Peace, be still." Immediately the wind stopped, the sea became suddenly calm, and the disciples were safe and amazed. Then, after rebuking the storm, he turned and rebuked his disciples. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" Why are we so afraid? Is it perhaps that we are putting our faith in ourselves? Shouldn't we trust the one who is omnipresent, present everywhere, including always with us? Instead of fearing death, shouldn't we be confident in the one who conquered death by offering his body and blood into death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead? Jesus' omnipresence is perhaps shown in the most personal way for each of us each time we participate in Holy Communion. In each celebration of this sacred meal, everywhere around the world, that same body and blood of Jesus that he sacrificed on the cross is present in the bread and the wine. It is given to each believing Christian who participates in the sacrament, casting out the fear over the punishment of sin and replacing it with the assurance that our sins are forgiven. And that's what the everywhere, always present Jesus fills us with, confidence in sins forgiven. He makes us fearful people confident. Jesus knows we need confidence, and he gives it to us through his word. Think of all the times the words "do not be afraid" or "do not fear" appear throughout Scripture. One Bible app found those two phrases a total of 110 times. Regardless of the exact number, it is evident that our Lord wants us to trust in him, to not be afraid, to instead be filled with confidence. Earlier, I mentioned the fears of a little child, such as the fear of the dark. What do little children do when they're most afraid? They turn to their parents. They reach for their hand to hold. When I was a little boy, I remember that fear I felt of our dark basement. Going down those steps into the darkness was kind of a traumatic experience. But when my dad went with me, when my hand was safely gripped by his, that fear melted away. I was confident everything would be okay. Isaiah conveys this type of confidence with his words from chapter 41. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be overwhelmed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Just as the hand of a parent gives a child confidence in fearful times, the hand of our Lord gives us confidence. Listen again to the words of our text. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I will fear no evil. That is a confident statement. And what is the cause of that confidence? For you are with me. It is Jesus walking through that valley with us. It is he going through life's most frightening situations, even death itself, with us. That's what fills us with the confidence we need. The confidence that Jesus gives us is described perfectly in another Psalm of David, Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." So, why are you still afraid? Remember the words, "I will not fear, for you are with me." Our omnipresent Savior, Jesus, makes us fearful people confident. Amen. You close with hymn 784. Hymn 784.